We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68. I'm Ryan Wall. I'm joined, as always, by Jordan Pollock. And Jordan, since we last recorded, a couple things have happened. Arizona moved to 3-1 in Pac-12 play, and they've had two players join the 1,000-point club. Pella Larsen, Umar Ballo, originally started other places, Pella at Utah, Umar Ballo at Gonzaga, but at Arizona, they joined the 1,000-point club. What'd you think of that? And what'd you think of this big home win, 92-73 against Utah on Saturday?
I think it's a huge accomplishment for those guys, especially not playing a full 4 years in the program and able to eclipse something that I can't even remember the last Arizona player that was able to do that, to be honest, especially with some of the stars and good players that we've had over the years, especially over the last like 15 years in the one and done era. They're here for a year and then they're gone, or they're here for 2 years, like in Benedict Mathurin's case, and then they're gone to the NBA. So it's really cool to see, especially veteran guys that are starters that are able to stay in the program and continue to develop. And it just speaks on their grit and their tenacity to just continue to improve on their game and develop, and the ownership that they've given Tommy Lloyd and this staff to take a chance on Arizona, transfer in, and their lives in a sense have been changed with how many places Arizona basketball can get you and the kind of connections and the brotherhood atmosphere that Lute Olson started and Sean Miller kind of kept going, calling everything a players program. And now Tommy Lloyd through all the mentorship program with old Arizona alumni. And so it's really cool to see guys that are taking ownership of that and stepping into new things, especially foreigners and international players. It's one thing that's really cool to see where the state of our game is at, especially when you compare it to the NBA, how it's a lot more internationally dominated at that level. And we're kind of doing our own little version of it in Tucson. It's pretty remarkable, I think.
Yeah, it is a great thing. I totally agree with you, Jordan. And that's kind of getting back to the old school mentality kind of for me of Arizona, because years ago Arizona had a lot of players that stayed here for a couple of years, stayed in Tucson. And then, you know, Sean Miller came and adapt to the new era with the one and done players, like you mentioned, but also just enough credit. We've raved about Tommy Lloyd since he got here. This year, he's been fantastic, as we've said in the past, but just the job he's done, not from even recruiting his own players and having them stay a couple years, but recruiting guys from other programs, bringing them in, especially like you mentioned, foreign players, guys that weren't familiar with basketball in the United States, and having them come to Arizona, grow, develop, and now get to a point where we see Pella Larsen and Umar Ballo excelling in their roles and being stars at Arizona.
Yeah, definitely. Completely agree.
Yeah, Jordan, and getting into the game from Saturday, I mentioned that Arizona did win by 19 points, but a lot of this game in the first half, Arizona did get out to an 8-point lead a little halfway through the first period, but then they only were up by 3 at halftime, and then it kind of remained close in the second half until about the last 10 or so minutes, Arizona broke the game open. But a guy that was excellent in this game, very efficient, and a guy that we've raved about this season, he did have a couple down games in the past couple of weeks, but that's Keyshawn Johnson. 20 points, 9 for 11 shooting from the field, 5 rebounds. He was made 2 3-pointers. He was just excellent. And when they have that version of Keyshawn Johnson, this and you also have a Caleb Love scoring 23 and Umar 17 and doing it while they're so efficient, 60% from the field, 55% from three, this team is just something special and very tough to beat.
Yeah, I completely agree, especially when you can score in so many different ways from so many different guys. It just makes this team so much more dangerous, especially a guy like Keyshawn Johnson. If you would have told me 2 months ago that he'd be hitting threes and scoring over 20 in a game, I would not have believed you. And his presence on the defensive end has just made this team so good and so reliable on both ends of the court. And I, like I said, I'm very surprising if you would have told me that a few months ago. I thought this guy was pretty limited offensively and was kind of just a guy that went off pick and rolls and kind of a garbage man kind of guy. And the way that he's just kind of exploded, it feels like this year offensively is just remarkable. And it's really awesome to see. And it's really amazing to see how Tommy Lloyd can get a diamond from diamonds. Like he is a team that came from a Final Four appearance last year. But I did not expect the kind of output that we've been getting from Johnson. It's been remarkable, and he's going to be a reason this team can make a deep run.
Yeah. It seems like we're watching a different player than the guy that we saw at San Diego State. He was a major part of that team, but he was more of a complimentary piece, more of a defensive first guy for that San Diego State team. And traditionally veterans like that, we don't see a guy have a 3+ year career somewhere, come over somewhere else, and then just totally change and grow. But that's something I always say with all sports. It's all about opportunity. And with more opportunity, there are guys like Keyshawn Johnson that can put more forward and can show that he has so much more to prove, and he has so much more that he can add to a team. He's not just a defensive player. He's the guy that can get 15 to 20 on most nights during the season. But Jordan, I wanted to get your thoughts on what do you think of Caleb Love's performance in this game? 23 points, as I mentioned, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. He was really good in this game, especially in the second half. I believe he had 15 points. He had a couple threes in consecutive possessions. What did you think about him?
Yeah, I think at the start of this year, I think we keep talking about where we thought this team would be a few months ago. And they think that he's putting up 6 and 6 from assist and rebounds perspective is really awesome to see how his game's grown as well. And I think it just speaks a lot to Tommy Lloyd and kind of the confidence that he has in guys and the confidence that he puts in guys to be out there. And I think it speaks a lot to how he runs the team and who he decides to give minutes to. And I think I think about in previous years with guys that I think a lot of us expected to get a lot more minutes that just couldn't really carve any specific roles and couldn't really score to really the level that we wanted them to. I think Tommy Lloyd has done a great job implementing a player scoring system to where any guy can really get his on any given night. And he specifically puts guys in those positions that he knows are going to be able to have outputs from either a scoring perspective, from assist perspective, because this team also over the last 3 years through the Tommy Lloyd era has done a huge offensive efficiency perspective from assists. Like, nobody has been selfish on these teams. Like, they set each other up very well. And so I think that's one thing awesome to see from Caleb Love's game going in. Like, at our first episode, I said he was going to be the premier scorer and everybody else was just going to follow in line. And to see him even have games where he doesn't score, but he figures out different ways to score, either from the free throw line or from getting assists. It's been really remarkable to see kind of how the system over the last 3 years has completely changed every single year with different players and different leading scorers and different role players, and just how Tommy's really shuffled the offense and the roster and shuffled minutes being played.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, that's credit to Tommy. It's also credit to the players for adapting to the system, fitting in the role. And it seems as more time goes on, Caleb Love is fitting into the system really well. And he's growing more confidence even on the offensive ends. And he's finding the spots where he knows he can get his buckets, he can get his shots off, he can drive to the hole. And just overall, another thing in this game that was excellent is the rebounding. 42 rebounds for Arizona, 24 for Utah. And that was big part for a lot of guys added to that. Umar Ballo, 9 rebounds. Love, as you mentioned, 6. Keyshawn Johnson, Jaden Bradley each had 5. And Jordan, this is something we've talked on since early in the season, our early episodes, is that when this team's at its best, is when you have 5 guys in the double figures, is when you have, you know, the efficiency being at a high level. And that's led by Kylan Boswell, who only had 11 points in this game, but still added 6 assists, 3 rebounds. When he's facilitating at a high level, that's when this offense is at their best. And that's that's a credit to Tommy Lloyd's system, mm-hmm. is that on a night like this, it might be anyone's night, but you see guys like Caleb Love, Johnson exploding, and then the guys around the edges just kind of finish the job. And I stand by it. I stand pat when I've said it in the past, when Arizona's playing like this, I really don't know what other team can get this type of production and production on this high of a level from 5 different guys. I really don't know who else in the country can do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And just to reiterate again, like, it's not just this year. Like, we're just a little bit further than a year out from last year's team that played at the Maui Jim Maui tournament, to where Umar Ballo won the MVP. And there was a guy on the roster by name Zulis Tubelis, who was runner-up for Pac-12 Player of the Year. And he didn't even win most valuable player in the one tournament they played last year, and when they went undefeated and had an awesome run in early in the season last year. And so this is really remarkable of what Tommy Lloyd and the way he's kind of kneaded together this program to be so effective with so many different guys.
Yeah, I totally agree. Jordan, I think we could sum this. This was just another Arizona just old-fashioned beatdown at home. They've done this countless times at home. Arizona, one of the best crowds and home, you know, court advantages in the whole entire sport. And I think we can move on, because this game was just dominant from start to finish. Later in the show, we're gonna get into some of their future schedule, featuring a game this Saturday against Washington State. And I wanted to get into some of the later games in the Pac-12 schedule. But before we do that, Jordan, I wanted to talk about something that you and I were debating about over text the last day or so. And that's Arizona's resume and what maybe their best win may be. Because they've beaten a lot of great teams. They beat Duke. They beat Michigan State. They beat Wisconsin. What win for you stands out as Arizona's best win?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
I think two perspectives. I think from a resume perspective and in the fashion they did it, I think the Wisconsin win is the best win that they've had all year. And I think probably a part of that was because it was in McHale, and because of how much emotion from the city was surrounded around that game, of kind of getting revenge from the 2014 and 15 exits in the Elite Eights. But a few quick stats from this Wisconsin team that's now undefeated in Big Ten play. They stand alone, top of the Big Ten. It's a good conference. It's not the greatest conference this year. And I think it's pretty top loaded. I think we're still trying to figure out, it's still really early in conference play. We're still trying to figure out who's good and who's not good. Minnesota's been pretty impressive out of that conference so far this year. And I think Brian Johnson is their head coach's name, and his few years of being there after Patino left. But Wisconsin and quad 1 and 2 wins. They have a true road win at Michigan State. They have a neutral site win against SMU. They have a home win against rival Marquette, who was top 5 at the time, a week before they played Arizona. They have a true road win last night against Ohio State. They have a neutral site win against Virginia. They have a home win against Iowa, and they have a home win against Nebraska. And the closest game out of pretty much all of those was about 8 points. And I think that was to SMU. And every single game they've won by at least 9 to 10 points. And I think the team that you're going to pick is going to be Duke. And Duke is only 3-1 in those, they only have 3 wins in those quad 1 and 2 spots. And that's a home win over Baylor, home win over Syracuse, and a home win over Pitt. And Syracuse and Pitt right now are like kind of the middle of the ACC. So I think just the quality of what Wisconsin and their resume of what they're putting together is super impressive. And I think that's really going to help, I think, Arizona a lot in the long run, especially with how they did it. It was like 23-point win. Was at home, but still, this Wisconsin team is really, really good. And a week ago, people were calling it like most efficient offense in college basketball, which blew my mind. But AJ Storr has been on a tear recently.
Excellent.
And this Wisconsin team's really good. And I think the Big Ten is going to be in a little bit better of a spot than where the ACC is going to be at the end of the year, because ACC has kind of went through their ringer a lot, especially in the last week with kind of what the Big 12 has been putting up and what the Big Ten and some of the comments people have been making about the ACC from a media perspectives. kind of interesting, I think, in my opinion. But Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin's, I think, clear cut above, to be honest.
Yeah, that's a good case. I'll give my take on that. And it really, it's kind of different, you know, Jordan, because the way you look at it is the win itself, like looking at the win. If you flash back to, you know, that arena and you're viewing it from that landscape of just that singular win, or are you looking at what you just mentioned and that's the team that they beat in that team's entire resume? So that those are kind of two kind of different things to me, because it's to me the singular best victory, and it doesn't matter that it was the second game of the season. That's the win against Duke. That's you said I was going to say that. That is my pick for the singular best victory at Duke, because Jordan, for me, that is a top five place to win at in Cameron Indoor in the country. That environment, that building, it's so tough to win there. And even though it was in the first week of the season, that still stands as a great win, because Duke, since then, they've lost a couple along the way, but they've won a couple in a row. They beat a top 20 Baylor team. They also beat Michigan State, who both Wisconsin and Arizona beat in Michigan State. And so, yeah, I think that. And Duke right now, I believe, is still ranked number 10. That's this week. There's been a bunch of teams,
They're 11.
11.
I think they're
There's been,
11.
yeah, well, there's been a bunch of teams that all three of these teams we're talking about probably will move
Yeah.
up. But
Yeah.
anyway, I think Duke's the best singular win. I think Michigan, or I think Wisconsin, at the end of the year, they have to keep it up. And that's my point.
You
I
agree?
think I'm going to bet on Duke. I think Duke's a serious Final Four contender. I said that at the beginning of the year. They're getting healthier. I think they're going to be in there towards the end. Wisconsin's, to me, still have a bigger unknown, just because I just don't trust their play. I don't trust their guys as much as Duke. Duke has veterans, guys that have been there before on the big stage, and I think they have a higher level of talent on that team. And getting back to the best singular win, yeah, I would put Wisconsin number two, and not just because Arizona blew them out by over 20 points at home, but to me, if you're looking at just the singular victory, it's not close. Winning at Duke is one of the hardest places to win in the country.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think that's a good case. I think that's a good case. And in hindsight, it'll be 2020. You never know. For our viewers that are college football fans, there was a point in time when Texas's win to Alabama was the biggest thing in college football. A week later, Alabama struggled against USF, and everybody's like, "Oh, Alabama actually might be dog crap this year."
And
And what do you
that
know?
win,
Both of those two teams got in the
well, that
playoffs.
win, I believe that was in like week three or four. That reason, that's the reason they got in the playoff. That simple reason. It's a huge win. But yeah, I like that analogy a lot. I do. And I think that, yeah, it's still early in the season. There's still so much basketball to be played. And resumes, you know, when you play someone, it's different than at the end of the season, because when Arizona played Michigan State, they were ranked 21. When the beginning of the year, they were ranked 5. So things fluctuate. All I'm saying is my prediction, the Duke win will look better bat when you're looking back, but you never know. We'll see. It's like you said, we'll have to wait and see on that one.
And I think that's kind of my case with Wisconsin and Duke is I think right now and so far, I think Wisconsin's been a better team than Duke has. I think the quad one and two wins kind of speak to that. I think their offensive efficiency is it has been amazing in college. I think it's top five right now in college basketball. It's like their first time ever having 70 points in 9 straight games. And for Wisconsin, that does not happen. I know Arizona is really only familiar with Wisconsin from 2014 and 2015 that had Frank Kaminsky. Those were like some of the best offensive teams that Wisconsin has like ever had. And so on normal years like this year, like that's insane. 70 points for 9 games is crazy. Crazy for a program like that.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, Wisconsin, their losses are pretty good too. I agree. They lost to
They have a Tennessee loss, top
Providence, the
10
top,
team.
yeah, Tennessee. Yeah, so those are two.
And those
good
were
ones.
Within the
those
first. Both of those losses were within the first 9 days of the season, and they wanted to tear them one like 8 in a row right before they played Arizona, and then you know how that went. But
yeah,
I digress.
No, yeah, it's a good debate. It's good to talk about that, and we'll revisit this in a couple of weeks. You know, things change. As we know, in the last 4 to 5 days of college basketball, the top three teams in the country all lost. A couple of them lost to unranked teams even. So anything can happen. As we know, a couple of weeks ago,
yes,
Arizona lost to Stanford, got blown out. So anyone could beat anyone, really. But
for sure. One quick thing I will say to put a pin in it. Last Saturday, Wisconsin beat Nebraska by 16. 3 days ago, Nebraska beat Purdue by 16. All I'm saying.
Yeah, that's crazy. that's interesting.
As you guys know by now, we've partnered with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 each and every week of the college basketball season. We have a special offer that will be available starting on Tuesday, January 9th, and running through Monday, February 12th, the morning after Super Bowl 58. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, in honor of the big game, you can use the bonus code FIELD158 and you'll get $158 in free bets on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not you win that first bet. Here's how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app. Sign up using the bonus code FIELD158. Deposit at least $5 and place your first wager on any game. You'll receive $158 in bonus bets regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure that you use that bonus code FIELD158 when you sign up. And remember, BetMGM is now available under one wallet in select states. As a New Jersey resident, this is super convenient when I have to go cover games in New York or Philly, which happens quite a bit. When you cross state borders, you just log into your existing account and fire away. You don't have to create separate accounts in each state. It's easy, it's simple, it's clean. And most importantly, we have some fun stuff coming up for the heart of the college basketball season. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops odd boosts, and my favorite, a nice juicy parlay boost. So download the BetMGM app and sign up today. Field 158.
But, you know, staying on the same, you know, token of the resume, is Arizona's, you know, rest of their season's schedule and Pac-12 play. As we mentioned, they're playing Washington State this Saturday. It's taking place 4 p.m. in Arizona, 6 p.m. on the West Coast. Sadly, Jordan, it's on the Pac-12 network again. But good news, the following Wednesday, January 17th, 8 p.m., a night game in Tucson, a home game against USC. We'll be on ESPN. This is where I wanted to go, Jordan. They play USC, UCLA next week. And normally, I said to you before we started recording, normally when we get to this point of the schedule, when it's USC and when it's just, you know, the week when we play the Southern California schools, that happens two times. Those are normally the two toughest weeks for Arizona. And this year, it's just different because this year when Arizona plays USC, they're 2-3 in Pac-12 play. They're 8-8. And then UCLA is just a total disaster. 6-9, 1-3 Pac-12 play. One of the worst seasons for them I've seen in recent memory. So what do you think about this week's game against Washington State? And then what do you think about just the landscape of the Pac-12 with the California schools?
I feel like I can lump those things together. The Pac-12 is not in a good spot right now, basketball wise. And it's a shame. Like the last year of the Pac-12, we had a football team that was in the Natty this past week. Like I feel like we kind of want everybody to arrive into this sunset a little bit. And outside of Arizona, I do not see anything super positive so far coming from the conference. And especially like Wazoo, like they had, I think it was during the, I think the year after COVID, 2021, they had an interesting year. I think they made the tournament that year, but not really a well-known basketball program. I see probably very similar things this weekend out of Washington State. And our first episode, I I thought we would split with USC and UCLA. I thought UCLA would probably win the Pac-12 tournament.
And yeah, you were more high on them. I kind of was more. I was actually higher, I believe, on USC.
You were
USC,
yeah.
And they're bad. I mean, so yeah. I mean, at the top, I mean, it seems like Oregon's always tough.
Oregon's been playing well. Yeah.
Arizona State, you know, most of those games are tougher. They're up to 4-0 start in Pac-12 play. And I agree.
They've played the same slate that we have. Mm-hmm, and they've come out perfect so far. So
This conference, I totally agree. It's just a bad conference. It's that simple. It doesn't seem like it seems like it's up to Arizona, kind of like Washington in football, if a team wants to go to the national title game from this conference. Because I don't know how many teams make the tournament from this conference, because it's really bad. We'll see how the second half plays out. But yeah, it seems like this in the final year of the Pac-12 in college basketball might be one of the worst in the last decade.
Yeah, I would agree. I think Oregon's probably the best shot, especially the way their freshmen have been playing. And I think Dana Altman, I think that's their head coach's
name.
Yeah,
he's great.
And he's great. He has a lot of experience, been there over a decade. I would probably put my money on them if you're going to pick another team out of the Pac-12 to make the tournament. But out of UCLA, like my thing was Cronin. I love Cronin, and I still love Cronin. He's done a remarkable thing at UCLA in his 5 years there since he left Cincinnati for that job. And he's done an amazing job. And this team is completely different than the team he had last year. The team he had last year was led by Pac-12 Player of the Year Jaime Jaquez, who's going on a tear right now in the NBA, and at times looks like the best player on that Miami Heat team. And so when you lose a caliber player like that, that you basically depended on for 3 years, it's hard to replace guys, and especially guys like Tiger Campbell, that he was there for 4+ years, and those guys made a Final Four run together, and now they're pretty much all freshmen. I think the only thing you can point to is probably his inexperience with dipping into the transfer portal really a ton with this team, and just kind of hoping he could get through with the good freshman class.
I think also that's credit to a Tommy Lloyd, where he has had players, not as long as he hasn't had a Jaime Jaquez or a Tiger Campbell stay there for 3-4 years. But he's had players a couple years, and he's developing players behind those guys, and he's bringing ready-made players and kind of molding the timelines of the young and the older group to put the best product forward. And I think Cronin has failed to do that this year. I don't think they'll be like bad for multiple years. I think, you know, there's still a major brand in the sport, as we know. And I actually, we'll get into our episode next week. We'll recap the Washington State game, and we'll get into more of these games versus the schools from Southern California. But my last point here is, I think these games will be closer than maybe the odds makers will put them. I think the USC game will be closer. They've had some close games. You know, they still have, they're kind of trying to figure out their rotation and anything. But Jordan, any other final thoughts on the rest of the Pac-12 schedule or the game versus Washington State before we go?
I would say, like we're talking about in UCLA, I still don't imagine UCLA finishes in the bottom four of the Pac-12.
I agree.
And I think that's probably mostly just me speaking on Cronin and how good of a coach he is. And I think he'll be able to inch his way kind of a little. He'll get a few wins, I think, here and there.
Yeah, I agree. When they play, you know, that home environment's still great. They'll beat a bunch of teams there, I think, down the stretch. But I wanted to thank everybody for tuning into today's episode. I'm Ryan Wall. He's Jordan Pollock. You can follow us on X at BearDownAZPod. You can follow the Field of 68, and we'll see you next time.